Grace this morning, brothers and sisters, and peace in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a beautiful song. And one of those lines in that song, you know, I never look at because I'm always trying to sing the part I sing. But I was looking up there and it says, I will be blessed forever and ever. I will be blessed by the Lord. And truly we are blessed. We are a blessed people because we have come to know who Christ is. We understand what life in Christ is all about. And we understand what we have in Him each and every day. And let me get this thing turned on here. Okay. And as we're looking at who Christ is today, I want us to think about the blessings that we have in Him. We've gone from a condition of lost to found. We've gone from a condition of not feeling value to having value, to feeling unworthy to being worthy because of what Jesus has done on the cross for each and every one of us. We receive this great blessing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, Ephesians 1 is going to say every spiritual blessing that we have is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But I want you to know, and when we think about blessing, we think about that word, what it means. It means to be blessed. It means to be supremely blessed. It also means the word to be happy also. But the very idea that we can be so blessed by our God is almost unfathomable to us. To see how much He truly loves us. See how much He truly cares for us. And the thing that I want us to think about this morning is how it is to be blessed to live for Christ. The opportunity that we have to live for Him. That's good. Because it means it's no longer about me. So I don't have to go looking saying, hey, I'm this and I'm that. I'm the man and I'm all these things. God, You are. You are Lord of my life. And I am now giving my life over to You. But you know what? When we think about blessings sometimes, what do we think about? Well, Lord, I've given my life to You. I'm blessed. Okay. Let me see the blessings. Lord, Where are the blessings at? Some people told me if I did this, everything would be fine. Lord, I'm having a hard time. Got things going on in my life. Lord, you sure about it meaning really to be blessed? And if we start going down that road, we let ourselves get lost in different things. But you know what? To be blessed, we have to live for Christ. To be blessed, we have to wrestle for the blessing that we have. You remember Jacob? When he went there and he wrestled, as it says there, he wrestled because he was wanting his blessing. He was wanting that moment, and he received it. And you know what? After that moment, he becomes Israel. But after that, he finally changes his ways because he's always a little bit conniving and doing different things. But then he changes because he's been blessed. But he had to wrestle for it. He had to look for it. He had to search it. He had to go for it. And you know what Jesus has told us in His Word? He says, I want you to know, I want you to be blessed. Because you know, when we think about blessing, we can't help but thinking about what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. Especially there in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 13, there in the very beginning. And I'd like us to read these verses as we get started this morning. And we'll look at them a little bit together. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 3 through 12 says this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice, rejoice, and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Galatians chapter 1, chapter 2 says this, you have been saved from this present evil age through your faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul was telling the church in Galatia that, and Paul is telling the church here in Dangerfield that today. You have been saved from this present evil age. You have eternal life. You have salvation. You have something to look forward to. In our class this morning, looking at faith, hope, and love, we have those things to hold on to, and we want to show those things in our lives, just as the church did in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, saying that they were about faith, hope, and love, and as they did that, they continued to grow. Because those things were not just words, but they were actions. There were things that happened. There were things that were going on. It was things that they were doing. And as they're going through this process, what we understand by being blessed by the Sermon on the Mount, I see some things that we can think of together. Okay, the very first thing we see here together is that we are blessed through humility. If you look at some of those things that he says here in these first parts about poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, and you look at those promises, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, they will be comforted, they will inherit the earth. Look at the blessings that come. But you know what? If I want those blessings, I've got to be like these things. I got to make those, my goal in my life is to become like Christ. My goal in my life, Lord, is that I can represent and show these things in my life. I love how Tim says Jesus is not putting it up here. He's just telling us where it was supposed to be in the first place. And in these verses already, he's telling us poor in spirit. But I love that word humility. And if we think about what humility is and how it works, you know, in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul's going to say, if you have anything in common, anything that you share because of your love in Christ, please do this one thing. Show humility to one another, thinking of others better than yourselves. Humility. To look to others. I love it when we think of the publican and tax collector. As Luke counts in Luke 18, talking about them and their lives, and the publican is laying, look at all I've done. I'm so blessed because I do this, 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 this. And then the publican's there, the tax collector's looking there, said, look, Lord, I can't even look up to heaven. I'm beating my chest because I look to you and I see who I am and I am not worthy. But Jesus said, I'll tell you, this man went away exalted. For he who exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. Isn't it great to know that we can humble ourselves before the Lord? Submit to him. Allow him to work in us and allow us to continue to look in him each and every day. In fact, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I don't know about you, but there's sometimes in my life, I'd like to cry and sometimes I don't, but sometimes I do. And sometimes a lot of when we think about grieving and different things that are going on, sometimes we kind of feel like, well, if I cry, that shows weakness. If I show mourning, I'm showing weakness. You're not. That's an emotion. That's something that God has given you to allow you to work through whatever it is you're going through in your life and you're grieving about at that time. So when you mourn, you don't mourn like the world who says, where can I run to and try to find things in the world? But we run to Jesus. And it's so neat that Paul will say in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he's going to talk about it. He's going to say, look, praise and glory to the God of all consolation, to the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our trials so that we can comfort others passing through their trials, which means we're going to pass it. We're going to make it through. And then he also said, you know what? We even felt the sentence of life and death. We felt like we weren't going to live. We weren't going to make it. But this showed that it wasn't not to depend on ourselves, but to depend on God. So whatever you're going through this morning, if you've lost somebody in your life or some kind of job change or some kind of conflict that's going on right now, bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your comfort. But I want to submit to you, Lord, in humility. I can't do it on my own. I can't make this right by trying to do it my way. Help me to do it your way. And as he continues to talk about this, being meek, the very idea of having strength. Moses was said to be one of the meekest men on the earth. And as he was, it was the very idea that we say about power under control. Being able in situations to see what's going on and what's happening, being able to also control ourselves at that moment. I had a teacher once, he said, it's like you're having a Ferrari and you're on the interstate and you know how it is, it's nighttime. And, well, guess what? There's a construction area, 35 miles per hour, and you drive 35. Or you're in the city and you look, say, hey, look, there's nobody in the city tonight. Well, let's go ahead and test it and go, whoosh, 500. Power under control. It's hard because that means we have to give it over to Jesus. But to understand that we have it in us. Lord God, help me to control. Help me to look to you. Help me to be meek in situations. Help me to listen to others. One of the hardest problems right in conflicts is, and you see it on Facebook all the time, they post it, it says, when somebody's talking to us, we're already thinking about what we're going to say back, or we're already thinking about how we're going to defend what they're going to, against whatever they're going to say, and we actually do not even listen to what the person is trying to say. So really, one of the best things you can do for that is when you're hearing somebody and listening, say afterwards, okay, this is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm listening. So they know you're listening and that you keep yourself connected to what's going on at that very time. But meekness, the very idea of, Lord, I have you in my life. Lord God, help me to be different. Help me to show difference in my life. And when situations come along and present themselves that may make me want to go a 5,000, that I will stay in control. That I will hold on to what's going on to me, Lord, so that I don't do things that I shouldn't do. Because those things come with promises. If we want these promises, God is calling us to live these promises. But it's not only meekness that he calls us to and humility, but he says also, oops, I just pushed the wrong button. I'll get it back. Okay. I'm using this here for the first time to try it out, see how it goes. And so we made it back up. So that was good. Technical difficulty taken care of quickly. But blessed on the Sermon on the Mount because of hunger. To hunger, as he says here, and thirst for righteousness, for you will be filled. The very idea that, Lord God, I want to be filled. I want to be filled with you. I want to be filled with the blessings that are in you. Lord God, I want to understand every good thing that I have in you. Lord God, help me to be filled with you. Romans chapter 12 says, we can understand God's good, pleasing, and perfect will when we live our lives as a living sacrifice for him and have our minds transformed to be not conformed to this world, but be conformed to Christ. Lord God, I hunger and thirst that you transform me. Make me different than I was. Make me something new. We sing the song, make me new, Lord Jesus. Make me new. Yes, Lord, make us new. Make us new in all that we do. And Lord God, may I seek you, as God says in his word, with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. As we're looking at this here, and he's talking about these things, and talking about this hunger, that deep desire that we have inside. And we have to ask ourselves, do I have that hunger? Do I have that desire? And looking at ourselves, how much am I reading God's word? How much am I praying? Not because it depends on how much, but am I making that a part of my regular life daily? Lord God, give me power. Give me, Lord, the opportunity to understand your good, pleasing, perfect will. Lord God, I want to know what you are saying to me. Help me to look into your word. Because you know what? God says if you're hungering for him and if you're thirsting for him, you will be filled. Whew. Tell you what, when I'm hungry and thirsty and I eat something good and I'm filled, how do you feel? You feel good. Something filled you up. I see some people say, hey, it's taking yes. Okay? In Brazil, you eat so much and you feel like that, they say you're sad. Okay? But we're not getting to the sad point. You're eating and you've had your fill. Oh, Lord God. But you know what? In Christ, we can be filled a little more every single day. Amen. Be a little bit more filled each and every day in him to understand his good, pleasing, perfect will, to understand his word in our lives. But not only that does he call us to, but as he also talks about those who are being merciful and those who are pure in heart, it's this thing that we want to surprise and the thing that we want to pursue in our life is holiness. One time we had a class called Life, Love, Joy, and the Pursuit of Holiness. Because God says in his word in Hebrews, without holiness, no one will see God. Our idea to say, Lord God, I want to look at this and see what's going on. Because I want to shed those things that are not of you. Our brother John Lee brought a great illustration up this morning in class. He says, we're like those sculptors who have a thing of clay. And what do those sculptors do with that clay? They add more clay? No, they chip away. They take it away. Lord God, I want to grow in holiness. Help me, Lord, to see where I need to be chipped. And you know what? Jesus will. He'll take away those things. He's going to do some pruning, as it says in his words. And when you're pruned, it still hurts. But afterward, you're more fruitful, right? Oh, God, please help me in my pruning. Because, Lord God, it hurts to be pruned. Lord God, you know I've been dealing with anger and you're not wanting me to live that way. Prune me. Lord God, you know I've been struggling with desires that are not of you. Prune me. It's going to hurt, Lord, but if it's going to make me become more like you, because our God is holy. He is a holy God. We search and we look and we go and desire his holiness. And you know what also? He also says this. Even in, and I almost put it on here all the way, but even in the school of hard knocks, right? The school of hard knocks, the things that we go through. Jesus here is talking about persecution because of his word. Persecution because you are persevering in his will. Persecution because of the truth that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now I want you to know when we look at this and we read this a lot of times, we look, oh, that's so beautiful. Oh, the blessing of we will see God. Oh, be called the children of God. Oh, the rewards. But do you see there's something always before that? There's something that is challenging us. There is something that is calling us to Jesus Christ, calling us to be more than that we could ever expect. I want you to know when Jesus is saying these things, he's not saying these things because he doesn't believe that we can continue to grow in them. He's saying these things because he wants to encourage us. You know, and a lot of times you see this part about blessed, and it is good. But all of this that he is saying right here is preparing them for what? What he's going to say in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. I love it in the Luke, when he's talking about the Sermon on the Plain. It says that Jesus looked at the people, and that they looked like a sheep without a shepherd. So he sat down and began to preach and teach. Here is Sermon on the Mount. Didn't even think about it being a Sermon on the Mount, Tim, or the going to the Mount. But Sermon on the Mount. And he sees his disciples and he says he begins to teach them. Jesus wants to teach us. Are we going to be students? Are we going to allow his word to teach us? Are we going to allow him to grow into us? But I want you to know that Jesus, when he says these things that are going to be challenging, sober about what it means to love one another, what it means to murder, it's not an eye for an eye, but even if you look at your brother, where he talks about adultery, it's not just the act, it's what's going on in the mind. Jesus is going to be saying some hard things, hard teachings and truth, but he's saying those things so that those things may be chiseled out of our life so that we may become more like Christ. And you know the only way that's going to happen? Because he ends it so beautifully in Matthew chapter 7 when he talks about the storms that come. There was the one man who built the house on the sand, and there was the one man who built the house on the rock. So he's saying, you know what? The trials come, the storms come, and everything comes in the lives of all of us. Christian or non-Christian, we suffer, we have hard times, we have things that happen on this earth, but how's the only way that we can stand and not fall into hopelessness, not fall into any kind of confidence in the Lord? We stand and we build our houses on the rock. Amen. Build your house on the rock. On the teachings of Jesus Christ, on Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, because he is Lord. He is God, and he can do it. And Jesus is saying, I want to give you hope in doing these things and reading these things. And when you've heard the things that I've said here on this sermon today, on Sermon on the Mount, I want you to know it can happen. But you have to build your house. You have to build your temple, the body, on Jesus Christ. And Lord God, when we do that, we are blessed to live for Christ because we are called to do things that Jesus did. You know what? It's great, isn't it? To know that we have a Savior who can relate to us, as it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 16, Hebrews 4, 12 and 16, talking about a merciful and high priest, talking about Jesus Christ who was one just like us, who was tempted with sin, but yet he was tempted with sin, but yet did not sin. And now we can approach the throne of grace in our time of mercy. If we approach him, we have to approach him. We have to look to him. We have to believe in the blessings that are in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But not only that, other books of the Bible talk about this blessing. The things that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the next one is the blessing that we have in the letter of James. See if it'll get up there. Okay, there we go. Blessing in James. And I'd like to just read three verses for us to think about, and I'll go ahead and be sure to put those up here already so that we can see those together. Because we're going to understand these three things together when we're looking at them right now. James is going to have three things: trials, as he talks about here, and hearing and doing and persevering. Remember, James chapter 1 starts with what? Consider it pure joy, brothers, when you face trials of any kinds, because through these trials, it's going to develop persistence, courage, hope, character, all of these things that we want to look at in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But in James chapter 1, verse 12, he's talking about this. When we go to God, understanding and asking for wisdom, understanding that he gives us wisdom and discernment and things, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that has the Lord has promised to those who love him. Do you see the promise? Whoa, I want to receive the crown of life. How am I going to receive the crown of life? Blessed is he who, what? Perseveres under trial. Lord God, there are trials in my life going on. There are people who don't like me. There are people who say things about me. There are people that are acting evil and all of these things, Lord. Lord, I'm going through all of it right now. And I'm feeling all of that on me. What am I going to do? I'm just going to give up. I'm done. No. Persevere. Endure. Words that sound easy, but are hard. Persevere. Endure. Be blessed. Because remember, the blessings you're truly looking for are not the blessings here that we can see, but the blessings we don't see that are in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the one blessing you already know that you have by faith is a crown of life awaiting you. So endure, persevere, continue to look to God. But now as you're doing that, remember to continue listening to his voice. Look what he says in James chapter 1, verse 25. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Ooh. Woo. Lord God, I want to be blessed. How am I going to be blessed, Lord? Looking into the perfect law. What is the perfect law? Christ Jesus. Looking to Jesus. Reflecting on Jesus. He'll even say like this earlier. He says, it's like a man who goes from a mirror. If he doesn't look at himself and goes away and forgets what he looks like, it's like a man who doesn't look to Jesus. But if we look to Jesus, we look in that mirror, we see the good and we see the bad and we see the ugly in the morning before we brush our teeth and get everything ready, right? And we get there and we change it. Now, I have to tell you, many times when I'm there in that mirror in the bathroom in the morning and I come out of there, as you know, if I brush my hair like this or with a comb, okay? She can tell the difference. I don't think there's a difference, but guess what? There is. Even with the little I have, she can still tell the difference. Jesus is wanting us to look into the mirror and he's saying, look to me. Look in your life. What do I need to change, Lord? Lord, I was reading a verse today about forgiveness. What, Lord, how am I going to do that today? There's people I need to forgive. Lord God, I've been having a problem holding my tongue. Okay, Lord, I'm reading these verses talking about to hold my tongue. Lord God, help me to do that today. Help me to reflect, to look and think, where do I need to move? Where do I need to change? Where do I need to become more like you? Because whether we're going through trials and the things of life that's going on, or whether we're even suffering, as it says in James chapter 1, James chapter 5, verse 12, as you know, we count it blessed those who have what? Persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. The question is today, do you believe that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy? Amen. Do you believe that even though something in your life, there's a word in Portuguese beautiful for it, abalado, I don't know what the word is in English, but when you are just down to totally frustrated, do you still believe the Lord is the Lord full of compassion and mercy? Lord God, it's hard, but I'm going to endure it. And I'm going to see this through because it's your promise. And you are the Lord of mercy and compassion. Lord God, I don't understand what's happening or what's going on, but I'm going to trust in you and I'm going to follow in you. And last but not least, thinking about these blessings that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and blessing to live for Christ, we can't help but think of the book of Revelation. As John is writing this letter to people who are in persecution, who are going through hard times, this very time also in their lives. And we hear these things from the book of Revelation. Listen how Jesus starts the book of Revelation as we look together. Revelation chapter 1 verse 3 says this. Looking at this together. Blessed is the one who reads about the words of this prophecy, and blessed those are who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. The time is near. This is the blessing that we see that's coming. And as we see here, the one who takes God's word to heart. You want the blessings of God? Take his word to heart. Don't let it just be here. Let it be here and out in the world where we live, showing that for us to be different. Just as he says here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. And he also says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 7. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of this prophecy written in this scroll. Staying with God's word. You want to be blessed? Stay in God's word. Not only this do we see here happening in this part here, but we also see, as he says here in Revelation 14, verse 13, then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Lord God, I'm following you, Lord. I'm following you. I want to do your good, pleasing, perfect will. And as he says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, as we're looking at these verses together, he says, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. The very idea again, blessed and holy are those who share in his first resurrection, who don't participate in the second death. Look at the blessings we have when we are living for Christ. And certainly, we see the invitation that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And Christ will go on to say here, in these last parts here as well, talking about this acceptance. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Blessed and holy are those who are here in this room this morning. The question is this morning, have you washed your robes in the blood of the Lamb? Have you given your life to Christ? If you are not in Christ, and you're seeking God's blessing in your life, if you truly want to have it, be in Him. Give your life to the Lord and allow those blessings. God has given one universal blessing. He sent Jesus into this world to die for the world, to die for our sins, and was buried for our sins and was raised from the dead. But only to those who accept the invitation are going to be able to receive the salvation that is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want you to accept the invitation of Him. Come to Him in faith, repenting of your sins, being baptized in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and living new life that is in Him each and every day. And just as Matthew talked about the things that we go through, and then the blessings that come through living those things, just as James talks about those blessings, even here as Revelation talks about at the end of it, about those blessings, there's one other thing I want us to remember. In Revelation, he starts out writing to 7 churches. And to some of those churches, the love of God, they had forgotten their first love. They had forgotten that their life was about Christ. They had forgotten that their blessing was in Christ. To another church, he wrote, you're lukewarm. You're neither hot or cold. And I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. Because they were like this. Just living their lives, thinking everything's okay, but not making any changes in their life, doing what they think is right, but not growing in their relationship with Christ, to the very moment where he says, I'm ready to spit you out of my mouth. To another one, he wrote, you look good. In fact, from the outside, you look great. But inside, you're cold, hungry, and naked. Why did he have to write those things? Because he wants us to reflect individually and as a church. Where are we? To the other church, he said, you're doing good, but continue to grow. Continue to fight the good fight. So as we look and we reflect on those things, I don't want you to leave you with that part. Because you know what he says in Revelation after those parts? To those who overcome, to the victor, to the victor, to the victor, to the one who perseveres, victory, 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 victory. He wanted you to know, this is where you are, reflect on it, grow in it, and you will receive the victor's crown. Victory is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this morning, he is available for all who are here. If you are in Christ, and you're thinking, man, I have not felt very victorious lately. If you're in Christ and you're thinking, well, I haven't really felt blessed lately. Maybe I need to look a little bit more and intense my relationship with him and grow in him. He is ready to allow you to grow and to mature in your faith. And if you need prayers for anything this morning, we believe in the power of prayer. Because it is promised to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that our prayers go to the Father when we pray in his name, and he is our mediator. If you have any need this morning, Jesus is only a step away. Come as we sing.
We hope you have found this lesson has brought you closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about this congregation of the Church of Christ that meets in Dangerfield, Texas, you can find us online at dfieldcoc.org. That's dfieldcoc.org. We would love for you to join us in person at 818 West W.M. Watson Boulevard, Dangerfield, Texas, or just search for Dangerfield Church of Christ in the map of your choice. Currently, our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible class at 9:30 a.m., Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. We have rotating small groups and devos Sunday evenings at 5 p.m., Wednesday Bible class at 6:30 p.m. Have a blessed day and continue to pursue the Lord Jesus. He is calling for you.